Well, you were pretty clear about what your experience was. No, you're very good. No, you are. I still appreciate it.
Well,
I'm not surprised. It's just you are.
Okay, we have a quorum and it's after 5:30, so I'm going to call the meeting to order. Stephanie, could you call the roll, please?
Tom Moore.
Here.
Judy O'Connor.
Here.
Jomo Osagie. Elaine Plencia.
Here.
Kyle Patterson.
Here.
Julian Rappaport.
Here.
Ann Robin.
Here.
Margaret White.
Here.
Susan Fowler.
Thank you. And as Susan is not here, I'm again filling in for her. The first item of business is citizen input, public participation. We have, you want to come up? And I should say that we like to keep each public or citizen input to about 5 minutes and the total to 20. That's our goal.
Watch the clock then, because I'm horrible at keeping time. For those of you who don't remember me, my name is Brian Tyson. I'm a police officer with the U of I Police Department. I run our Crisis Intervention Team program. I actually just came from CIT training up in McLean County. So I wanted to come up as part of the co-responder issue. I wasn't here for the study session. I tried to answer some questions that I think were raised and to make some statements. And what I would really like is if there are questions still outstanding by you all that you have as far as legal issues, as far as procedural issues, and to kind of reinforce the uniqueness of this program and the fact that you have, I do travel a lot, I do teach a lot. Like I said, I was in McLean County all day today doing CIT. The uniqueness of the opportunity that this program provides, that you have buy-in from all of the law enforcement agencies. Law enforcement agencies, by and large, are very bad at, for a better lack of a phrase, tooting our own horn. We don't talk very much. There's been a lot of things put on the table by all of the law enforcement agencies in this county that are sort of a moment in time thing, the way this will work. The money put up by my department for me to be pulled off the street and be able to do this full time, plus the offer to cover all overtime and benefits, which I don't know the exact number. I do know it's in excess of $40,000. The sheriff's department, who has gone outside of their budget to offer a vehicle for this at no cost to the program, excuse me, as well as Urbana PD, Lieutenant Sanders, and the Arms Committee that have stepped up and provided all of the services to provide data real time to be used for this program that we can take. This is unique. It doesn't happen very often anywhere in the country. It certainly doesn't happen in a community of this size to have the opportunity to have this sort of thing. And I wanted to make sure that that was clear, because some of the questions that I saw about information sharing, how would this work, they're valid questions. They're very easily answered, but I didn't have the opportunity to do that in the past. So if those still exist, as far as, you know, information sharing that has already been established with memorandums of understanding, as far as information sharing goes, if it's a crisis situation and the police are involved, that's covered by Illinois statute. I have no HIPAA regulations. I have no information sharing regulations. That's specific to law enforcement. That's another reason, as far as law enforcement being involved in this, that makes it so unique, because you have all of those things that would normally be barriers to a program like this are all covered statutorily under HIPAA, under the actual Illinois written legislative statutes. And then as far as the funding goes, like I said, there are a lot of folks, which it just does not happen, have stepped up to invest in this because of the importance of the program and the fact that, you know, that people would think it would work. I simply want to make sure that there are no outstanding questions that are easily answered by me. I don't know if I have all the answers, but I have a great many of them from what I read. If all of those are clear, and if they're not clear, I would love to clear it up rather than just speak at you for the time that I have to speak.
I have one. When you say the buy-in, which sounds so great, you know, from all the different parties, is that going to be written up as an ongoing commitment? Is it a year by year and then an analyze, or how's that
going
to work? I
have absolutely no question in my mind that this program will be so successful that there will not be an issue with keeping it going. Mm-hmm. This is something that's hanging there that I have no doubt whatsoever of how it will work because of the way we make it work now, piecemealed together. Mm-hmm. Once you officially put it together, put it all down, this is something that I would even say not that's just going to be successful, but will be readily expanded after, mm-hmm. because this is absolutely going to be evidence and data-based from day one. There will be statistics, data, and evidence able to be presented at any time during this because of the systems that we have in place already and the length of time that it's taken to get there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's taken us conservatively 10 to 15 years to be where we are. And really hard at it, I would ask either Dr. Rappaport or Mr. Driscoll, I mean, how long has our CIT steering committee been going that you guys have been attending? 3 or 4 years now of working this together to get to the point we are where all this can be done. And once again, this just isn't something to have. You don't put all of the people that we put in a room on a monthly basis and have everybody shake hands, hug, and agree on what needs to be done. Thank you.
Do we have any more citizen input, public participation? No. Okay. The next item is the agenda itself, and in consultation with Lynn, we've decided that the voting is the important thing today, so we're going to defer the board-to-board reports and also the executive director's comments. And we've already deferred a couple of things, but just kind of condense a little more. And so I think the next item is a report from the Disabilities Board, which Lynn is going to give us.
Back on the agenda.
Okay. The Developmental Disabilities Board met last Wednesday morning, same day as your study session, and they voted on recommendations for funding for DD programs, and they did recommend what appears in your Tier 1 of your decision memo tonight was recommended for funding by the Mental Health Board last week, recommended by the DD Board for funding by the Mental Health Board. I think that's essentially, they're going to have a special meeting on June 7th to consider one decision that they had some additional questions about.
But that, I thought so too, but no. okay. Yeah, Tom.
If we're going to defer those other items in the agenda, do we still need to approve the agenda?
They're saying we do.
Well, in consultation yesterday, we said no, but we sure can.
Let's do it.
Do I have a motion to approve the revised agenda?
The agenda as amended.
Okay. I think that word approval just begged for us to approve it. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Opposed? I don't. All right, thank you. Susan did not send any president's comments. I will just say in her place that as I've lived with these applications, I've just been impressed, again, as I am every year, with the number of people of goodwill at every level of the services that are involved in these kinds of efforts to help our community. So I think we can all be proud of being part of this. And we keep going down past deferred things, but we do need to approve the minutes from last month, the April minutes. So those are on page 3 to 6 of your packet. Do I have Ann?
Second that.
Is there any discussion of the minutes, the April minutes? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, the minutes are approved. And we are down to agency information. Is there agency information to share? Anyone? All right. We'll move on then to the financial information. We need to approve the claims report on pages 7 and 8.
I move that we approve the financial information.
Is there any discussion on the financial claims this month? Many of us do ask those questions outside the meeting. Questions do get asked. But are there any here? No? All in favor of approval?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. And this brings us to the main business of the evening, which is our allocation decisions. And so I want to say, those are on page 9 to 21, and then I want to say a little bit about procedure, how we're going to do this. The applications are arranged in tiers, as you know, which have to do with our priorities for funding. And we're going to vote on everything in one tier, except for this possible procedure. And that is, if a board member would like to take any one of the applications out of a tier for further discussion, and then, you know, you want to amend something, suggest other funding, we can have that discussion right now. We would then vote on that separately. So the warnings, of course, the obvious warning to give is that if we change something, that would be subject to available funding if we change something, because a lot of thought has gone into balancing all these different amounts. So there's that, and then you would also have to consider that that if funding is increased for any one proposal, then money has to be taken away from somebody else, because we don't have a pile of money to supplement what's already been decided. So that's kind of the way that has to go, and that's, you know, fine. So I'm going to proceed through the tiers then. I think we're ready to do.
If one would want to remove one of the programs from the tiers, when you say do it right now, do you mean this moment or when we get to that tier?
When we get to that tier, I was going to finish saying that. As we get to each tier, I will ask that question. You know, do you want to take one out to discuss?
At that tier, then
that one would be decided on, voted on separately. Then we would vote on the rest of the tier. That's right. Then we would move on to the tier after that.
You could end up.
Yeah, go ahead.
You could end up with different subtotals per tier. I think that, you know, we have some commitments that are built in here, and we're here to comment on what the minimum amount needs to be in those tiers.
Yeah. Okay, so are we all ready to start the process? Everybody on board here? Okay, so the first tier, tier one, is the tier supporting intellectual and developmental disabilities. Is there any one that you want to take out for discussion in this tier? No? All right. Then I would need...
Okay.
Oh.
I move to accept the total as in the published tier, which includes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 programs. Do we need to say what they are?
No. Could you read the decision section motion, though, because there's an item you've already paid for. So there's...
Okay, there's one item that's already been paid for.
A motion suggested here.
Okay.
To exclude that one item.
I move to approve the CCMHB funding as recommended for Tier 1, excluding the previously approved item.
I second.
Thank you. Didn't see that.
So do we need to have discussion?
Roll call.
Discussion of that motion? No, then we need to have a roll call for the vote.
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Elaine Plencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Margaret White?
Yes.
All right. So those proposals have been approved for funding. And so we move to Tier 2, that is concerning the system of care for youth and families. Is there any wish to take out one of those programs for further discussion? No? If not, then I would need a motion to approve the proposals in Tier 2.
I move to approve the CCMHB funding as recommended for Tier 2.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Discussion? And the roll call, please.
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Elaine Plencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Margaret White?
Yes.
The motion to approve Tier 2 has passed. So we move on to Tier 3 that has, it's grouped in three sections, but we're not voting on separate sections. This is all one tier. That was just for clarification. So is there... Tom.
Now, is this where if I wanted to pull
yes.
one up? Okay.
Yes.
I'd like for us to reconsider the first followers request and allocation. And I don't know if we do that here at the table or if that's something that's done with between then and Mark at some later date.
You can move
to and my motion would be to include Mark and Lynn. That's what I'm hoping that we would do. Was that it?
Well, what is it that you would like to have done about that application, I guess, would be the motion.
I'd like for us to reconsider and to move closer to the request that they made for us.
I'm just thinking about the wording. Would you like, you know, for our motion, would you like to request full funding for the original proposal, or?
No, I want them to be able to negotiate that with between Mark and the director.
You could make a motion that increases their funding up to the requested amount contingent on review of available funding.
That's one thing, but if you're also talking about, we do have the ability to negotiate a contract for specific activities if we wanted, if we were feeling that, Mark and I felt strongly about supporting the drop-in center and the employer recruitment pieces, which are an anti-stigma, and then not the resource development of a resource directory, and there was one other activity, the course. Okay. And so, but we can accomplish that during contract negotiations anyway, but the question of how much money you want to invest in this could be contingent on available funding, but then you might make a motion like that for all.
Make that motion that you just eloquently.
I think we.
Where up do we? To.
So you would move to increase funding for first followers up to the original proposal contingent on available funding.
Yes.
That's right.
It's okay.
Does that work?
I think I got it.
Okay.
Is that right? The way you word a motion like this?
You didn't want to add everything she said about the deliverables of this?
We can
do
that.
Okay. All right.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No.
Are we
just
ready?
Just simple.
Are we ready to ask for a second? Kyle seconds that motion. And is there discussion now? Margaret, are you?
I just have a question. Is it just to discuss negotiating, or is it giving the additional money?
That's this.
Yeah, the
That's
motion
the essence is. Of it. It's about additional money.
Is yes.
But you will discuss it.
Well, we
or
don't.
It's just we're voting to give that if we have more money.
Yes, we. Right now, my reviews of anticipated revenues get us here. If there are additional revenues, or if the levy is larger than we expect, then there would be more available funding. But I can't figure that out yet. I mean, we're not close enough to knowing that. But the ability to negotiate around the deliverables already is, that's already something we can do. So you don't need to create an additional motion for that. This is just about dollars.
It's limited to their request.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yes. We can't up the original request. Yeah. All right. Any other discussion, Anne?
Yeah, I would like to have some more discussion about the parenting with love and limits, and specifically
this.
Oh,
no, that's just this.
That's in this.
Oh.
That's under Tier 3.
But,
oh, you're going to discuss.
No, there's a motion on the table
motion.
About funding.
Oh, we
funding.
Haven't voted on Tom's motion
No,
yet.
We have
okay.
not yet.
Sorry, out of order.
Okay. Any more discussion about this motion?
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure how to do this, but I guess I feel uneasy about the procedure of at this point in the process making what essentially is an ambiguous commitment to funds when we have a totally worked out budget. I feel like that's something we should have discussed sooner. And I'm less worried about this particular program in that regard. The money is actually a relatively small amount compared to our total. But I don't know if I feel comfortable with the idea of quite doing it this way. It feels too haphazard to me. So that's my opinion mm-hmm. about the procedure, not about the program, but about the procedure. I just put that out for discussion. Maybe everybody else feels comfortable with it, but I find myself uneasy about
mm-hmm.
it.
Do we have discussion on Julian's point?
In our process, has this been an established procedure
yes.
that we have done?
We looked yesterday for some at some old minutes, and it has happened that a program has been taken out and recommended for more funding. And
so do we vote on that again? If you if new funding is approved, then do we, is that brought before us?
Well, I think you would have to change this motion for in order to do that. So this motion would just approve additional funding if we have additional funding. So if you want to have a, if you want to first know about additional funding and then vote on it, you could make change the motion. Or do you have to close this?
Well, maybe you can tell me what, I'm sorry.
Okay, finish this one and then do a different one.
Can I just ask one other question? If we said further discussion instead of funding, would that be a clear way of addressing the concern?
I think you have to...
That'd be a different motion.
You have to act on the current motion, but then you could create another one.
Okay.
To capture that.
Could I ask to hear the motion?
Did you hear it? This is what I heard. Okay. Tom Moore moved to increase funding for First Followers up to the requested amount contingent on a review of available funding. And I didn't hear who seconded it. I apologize.
Kyle did.
Kyle did. Okay.
I guess I had a question about, so we've budgeted about $3.845 million for the total budget. In previous years, what is, how common is it that once the revenues are received that it does exceed what we've previously budgeted for as far as additional revenues?
I don't know that that's ever happened.
What we're doing is allocating money for the remaining 6 months of 2017, and then the county board will approve a budget for 2018, and the projected increase that we would receive is part of that 3.845 that we have here. Then come the county board's action on the budget that tells us what our actual amount is, and then the difference between what we've allocated for the first 6 months of 18 then becomes available for as a known amount for the second half of when we get back to this point next year. It's likely that more money would become available. But what you would be doing is taking money that would be available for the second half of 2018.
Okay. So I guess in this situation, as I recall, the original budget or the request was about $59,000, and what's in here is $30,000. So if we're essentially doubling it and half of it so we're essentially doubling it. It seems like that would line up if the additional funds were there. If we're spending half of it, and then the other half, come the 2018 budget.
So the fundamental problem is that even though I was once a mathematician, I'm not an accountant, and I was doing this all by myself with pencils, and so. This is a super conservative estimate, also based on very conservative projections from Tammy Ogden. Putting aside the possibility of property tax freeze, but, not being that conservative, but being conservative within what has happened before. So it's possible that there's more money, but it's also possible that if we overspend, then we're just kicking hardship to next year so that our allocation decisions will be based on a lower amount available than the current year. So that's the effect that I think Mark is predicting, that you may end up spending what you would have available for FY19, but that's right.
I'm asking if I can speak. I'm being a good boy. So maybe I misunderstand this. So let me say part of what I'm wondering about is it seems to me that during the course of the year, we don't actually commit every single cent we have to these applications, right? We have other things we do, like, you know, staff do things, and there are other business comes up during the course of the year, and the board has ideas about things that sometimes we need to engage in. I'm a little concerned about tying our hands in that way.
Well, I've tied our hands there. I mean, I've really brought the admin budget down. I mean,
I know, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
But suppose things come up that we need. What I'm saying is, are we committing ourselves beyond the amount that you thought we could comfortably spend total here?
No.
Because we're going to eat in then to further flexible funds. Otherwise, I don't understand how you arrived at this.
Just the only thing I didn't account for is the property tax freeze, which could happen, but it doesn't affect us for a while.
Yeah. Okay, maybe I'm not being clear here.
Isn't this a discussion?
You had a rationale for arriving at this total number.
Yes, they did.
Well, do we want to just forget about that?
We're in the middle of voting on these amounts, and I personally think this is the time to rethink what the budget might or might not be. This is the
but
best.
But you have a budget request item here.
I know, but Margaret.
So what you were saying is to say that we go ahead and vote on the existing amount, and then it can be addressed later and then voted on later for additional money. Is that what you were thinking, since these were the set amounts and it's all balanced out? I mean, that's kind of what I was understanding. Well, so we could make a motion that included Tom's motion, but that it be discussed and then voted on later, given this budget. I'm just asking that. Thinking out loud.
Well, we're already going to vote on this. I mean, we're already going to vote on this amount. Tom?
I did make the motion, and I think I understand Julia's concern that we had a strategy for arriving at a budget. You need to speak up. He's afraid that the integrity of that is violated if we decide to go ahead and add additional funds. And one program doesn't make the difference. It's in the case that you have more and more of that, it could destroy the budget altogether. My thought about it is we've said that it's a limit to where we would allocate funds to this program, only in the case that we had additional funds. And the budget is primarily, it's not rock solid, it's primarily a blueprint, and we're making a certain set of estimates.
And it's a blueprint based on guesses and estimates, and we do have a professional accountant joining the team in just a month, so it's possible that I made a mistake. That would be great to discover if it was in the right direction. And then it's also possible that we'll have more revenue than projected, because I used a low estimate for FY18 revenues.
But you have to say what my interpretation.
No, I think what you said is pretty much what I think. I'm worried about the larger implications of it, since I could envision picking out many of these programs and saying, hey, well, I like this one. I'd like to see this one get more money.
Right.
And before you know it. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I don't like that. Maybe I think you're giving them too much.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
But I mean, it's fair, but I think we ought to have discussed that prior to this moment, which I think we had an opportunity to do.
Yes, it has been discussed.
So it's more of a procedural concern that I have than a substantive one. I don't know. I often find myself surprised to disagree with Tom, since I almost always agree with him. And I appreciate that this program is one that is an interesting one, worthy of support. Mm-hmm. I just wish we had discussed that earlier, mm-hmm. rather than at this late moment when the whole budget is laid out. Mm-hmm. Because of the possibility that this could occur mm-hmm. again and again, if we're so inclined. Maybe we'll, I mean, I doubt that we'll be so inclined, but we mm-hmm. could be. Mm-hmm.
Could be.
Could be.
Do that today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's it.
Or we can vote this down, and then there's no problem.
I think people should vote now however they want.
Yeah. Okay.
I've said enough about
it. All right. So is there any other discussion? Yeah. Are you?
We're not ready to discuss tier three yet. We're still voting on Tom's motion.
No. That's right. That's right. He's just telling. Are you up to speed now on what we're doing? All right. Is there any more discussion on Tom's motion? All right. Then we are ready to vote, and you have to call the roll on this, too. Yes.
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Joe Omoasagie?
Can you come back to me?
Yeah. Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
I abstain.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Margaret White?
Abstain.
Joe Omoasagie?
Yes.
All right, that motion.
So what do we have?
Carried, I believe.
Yeah.
That carried. All right, so now we are going to vote on the rest.
We have more questions. Mm-hmm. I have a question about, I have another program I want to discuss.
Do you want to take it out and?
Yes. Right now, because you said that was the process, unless Julian doesn't want to do this process.
That's what we're doing. Let's
okay.
do it.
Okay. Do I have the floor?
Yes.
Okay. My understanding of the process that you told us about is we're voting on each of these tiers as a block. Mm-hmm. Tier three is obviously the biggest one. It's got mm-hmm. a lot in it. Mm-hmm. And you explained that we could pull out one or more programs for mm-hmm. further discussion. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have discussed these programs over the last two meetings, but we did not have dollar amounts. So we had the requested dollar amount, but we didn't have the staff input as to what they said the dollar amount was going to be. So to me, it makes sense to have another discussion about a few of the programs, not very many of the programs. So I think, is that correct about the process, that we can pull out one or two more and discuss those a little bit more?
I think at this point it would have to lead to something monetarily to do that.
Yes.
Otherwise.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Changing the monetary.
I don't think that's correct. I think if you pull out a program, you could decide. You could argue that you don't want to support it
well,
at all.
Well, that's what I mean by monetarily. That's
well,
part
if you
of
said,
monetarily.
Yeah, if you said no yeah. support, that would be zero monetary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Great.
The programs that I still have significant concern about are the two PLL programs, one for Prairie Center and one for Rosecrans. And let me just say, I do understand that the board has a major commitment to these programs and that there's a long history to this. My concern is with the way that it's being implemented through the Savannah Family Institute, that it is just out of line, expensive compared to the more locally administered programs that we have. And I personally have not been convinced that we're getting the value. I've looked at all the materials. I'm not convinced that we're getting the value. So I don't know exactly how to say this. I don't think we should pull out our support from these programs because these are very important programs that we have a long commitment to, but I think we should not fund them for an entire year because I think we should look at evaluating and renegotiating and possibly pulling out of the Savannah Family Institute if that's possible. So I would like to pull those out with provisional funding, and maybe I can get Mark or Lynn to give some advice about how to say that.
We do have some news.
We were going to talk a little bit about PLL during the meeting schedule portion of the agenda under old business. Lynn and I have spoken with Savannah Family Institute. They are interested at last month's meeting, or last week's meeting, I talked a little bit about Parenting with Love and Limits and how that program came to this community and some of the impact it's had. We spoke to them today. They are willing and interested in coming June 28th for a study session to present information on the program, both it's about the model, about the impact it's had locally in terms of past studies and results, and then also some other studies that have been done that demonstrate the impact of the program in terms of cost savings as well as reduction in youth returning or recidivating. We also had a little bit of a conversation about our contract with them. They agreed to a small reduction, but I don't know. We're waiting to see the actual numbers on that. But I would imagine that would be part of the conversation with them on the 28th. But they have agreed to a small 5%, I think, reduction. But the program, in terms of how you want to approach this, I'm not really sure what to tell you other than you can wait and see. You could approve the allocation for 6 months and then make a decision after you hear the presentation. We would expect one of the things that they're talking about is not only an overview of the model and some of the data showing it, demonstrating its effectiveness, but also possibly having a mock family session with a family that has been a local family that has been through the program and how it has affected them in their relationship and the youth as well as the family dynamics. And then we would also likely have representatives from the two programs, the therapists. And this is all new. We have not. What I'm sharing now is new to the board as well as the agencies, because the conversation was just today. But that we would also hope to have the lead therapist come and talk about the program. I happen to think that this is a very good investment by the board, but it is ultimately the board's decision.
Mm-hmm. Six months or 3 months?
Well, I just think it's highly arbitrary at this point to question something that we have not, to the degree of perhaps not funding it, an ongoing program we've invested so much in, and which we really don't know a lot about in terms of the kind of information that's coming to us soon. I can't really imagine doing that. Julian.
So this is a great example to me of the problem that we have mm-hmm. here, both procedurally and in terms of dealing with our business. I personally have a lot of questions about this program, even though in my discussions with Mark and Lynn, I think they strongly think that it's a valuable program, and I think people in the community have support it. I've been convinced by talking to some other board members as well as other people, not on the board, just people who know what they're doing, that it's ridiculous to think that there's some sort of magic that this name and this exact way of doing things has, and that if these organizations who've had it these years haven't learned enough about how to deal with, regardless of what they call it, and if they haven't learned from it by now, I think there's something wrong there, because there's nothing, it can't be that precious. And I think we might be overpaying at some point. Many programs like this that are packaged, organized, and adopted in places have a sort of time limit to them, in which part of the goal is to spin them off so that they can be handled locally. So I'm a little bothered by the fact that this has never been spun off locally, and as far as I can tell, there's no plan for it. Having said that, and it's the reason I haven't said it this strongly previously is because it takes a while to think about these things. But I feel like, having said that, this is not the right time to do it. It's for exactly the reason that I was discussing earlier. I think this is, if this is what we're thinking, we should be having this conversation long before we get to this moment when we're actually voting on funding or not funding. I think it's just too late in the process for us to do our business in an orderly fashion. So I have both, I agree that we should consider it, but I don't think this is the moment to consider it.
Well, Julian, I don't know when would be the moment, because now is when we're talking about money. And yes, we have asked questions about this program, but we're either going to vote for the entire tier as a package, including over $600,000 approximately for these two programs, or not. And I'm asking that we pull these two programs out for the very reasons that we were discussing. And I have not made a motion yet, but I'm just about to. And I think this is totally appropriate to talk about it. Now, when are we going to talk about it? We can't talk about it 2 months from now if we've already made the appropriation for the whole year.
Next year.
I think that this is a great question for this program. But I'm not certain that this is the time. What I do think, if we have these serious concerns about it, is that we kind of write down what those concerns are and see if they are validated or not validated by the program. And then next year or 6 months from now, we say we decide we're not going to fund this program right now. I'm a little uncomfortable with saying now. To defund them. I wouldn't be uncomfortable about if we've gone a whole year and had the discussion about these programs and say it's not working to our satisfaction. That would be fine with me.
Yes, and find something to replace it. I mean, you don't want a vacuum for it.
Okay, I think I'm ready to make a motion. I move that specifically the Prairie Center and the Rosecrans Parenting with Love and Limits programs be funded for 6 months at the current level, at their requested level, so that things will be kept the same for 6 months, and that during that 6 months, a significant review of the programs, including staff and board and community members, be done so that we can see whether the value that's being received by the community is equal to the significant expenditure.
I didn't get all that. Also, the current level and the requested level are different.
Okay.
So, and you said both.
Okay. The level that is in the, whatever you put down here, what do you call
okay,
this?
That's the current level.
The current level.
And
okay, so I'm moving that the current level be funded for 6 months only, with the provision that significant review be done of these programs to look at alternative ways of providing the same services to reduce the cost to provide the services to the similar services to the community. Or we might decide to continue with this model.
Well, and just to be clear, if someone voted no, they would mean by no to go ahead and fund for a year as is. I just want to be sure we understand what we're...
Well, you would not until we voted on to approve.
Well, if they... So, someone...
We were going to take it out of Tier 3. That's what this motion is about. So, let's say somebody votes no on Ann's motion, then that is voting to leave it in the tier.
Right.
Yes, okay. Just so we all know what we're doing.
That's right.
I just have a comment. We did discuss our concerns about Parenting with Love and Limits, and we were told that we would have an in-service from them, but that would be after our funding time. So it really doesn't give us information to really be informed about the program. And I was very interested in what Ann said about there are local providers of a similar program. So if Parenting with Love and Limits were coming, I would also want an opportunity to hear from someone else to inform us of what we are buying. I just, because we did discuss this, there was a lot of concern.
I think that your motion included that. You meant for it too, right?
Yeah, I think my motion was too long. Okay.
It was broad enough to cover that.
Yeah. Yeah, Judy, I'm not aware of any alternative services right now, but I think that in 6 months' time, or if we make a decision this summer and let the people know that they've got, you know, 3-4 months to reorganize themselves, most people can do that.
I'm sorry, when you said local, I thought you
No, I was saying that something could be developed that was local, that wasn't paying for an outside. We're paying for this institute to provide the proprietary product and do the supervision.
Kyle?
I guess just a question. I don't want to seem like I'm way off left field on this, but I noticed that some of the programs are special initiatives that require a mid-year report. What exactly goes into that? So I'm wondering if maybe is that something that we could apply to this? But I kind of need to know exactly what.
I think it actually comes with quarterly reports, which are of value. So we wouldn't need to add that. That's part of the deal.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder if we can simplify this a little more.
the mid-year reports for the special initiatives, that's basically kind of to update the board on how the program is moving along, because they're typically just starting out. With Parenting with Love and Limits, we do get certainly more substantial quarterly reviews than we get typically just through our own reporting system. So that information is certainly available. I think, in terms of program performance, that at the study session on the 28th, you probably would get some of those questions answered. I don't know about being in a position to present alternative models at the 28th. I'm not sure. What those alternatives are at the moment, actually, other than what's been suggested in some of the feedback we got from Prairie Center and Rose Grants in response to the questions that were posed to them.
Okay. So, Ann, what you're saying is it's not that we want to cut services to the youth that are needing it. It's just that is it wise to spend the $150,000 for the Savannah Institute to evaluate it on a continuous basis? Or like what Julian is saying, is this sustainable over time? Can't we adopt Parenting with Love and Limits is an outstanding program, but can we adopt that without the, or continuous semblance of that without the $150,000, and maybe use that more for extra therapists? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Like thank you.
No, go ahead.
I'm certainly not uncomfortable with your, fundamentally what you're asking. I do think it's incumbent upon us, though, if we're going to reconsider this program, that as a board we think about what it is that we would like for them to be doing and to make a judgment that they are doing it or they are not doing it. And if we find that they are doing it, then we can continue with them. If they are not doing it and we want to do it in a different way, that we also have some idea in a way that we want to request new proposals to fill in with this gap. I guess what I'm hearing you saying, like, let's have this, what Kyle's called a mid-year review, seriously. And then we can make a judgment as a board, which I don't feel comfortable making today. But after 6 months and we talk about it and come up with what it is we're looking for from these guys, then that's a whole different, that's a different story for me.
Oh, I thought you might have something to say about the...
Just we can only sustain one allocation process, but I don't think that's what you meant. Yeah. But, you know, doing a secondary, because that comes up every year, like what do we do if we have emergencies? But that would cause us to manage a second allocation process, and we can't. We don't have enough manpower for that.
Julian, did you have something else?
I think not.
Okay, I don't think
so. I second Anne's.
Okay. And have we had our discussion? Any more discussion? Kyle?
Could you just repeat the motion? The language.
Do you have it, Stephanie? We trust the tape.
Just the highlights.
Because I have. She moved to approve the Prairie Center PLL Extended Care Program and the Rosecrans PLL Front End Program for.
At the current level. And I had that similar services be explored to lower the cost.
All right.
That's very good, Stephanie. Thank you.
She's still writing. We can't. Let us know when you can do the roll call.
Judy O'Connor.
Yes.
Joe Omoasagie.
Yes.
Elaine Plencia.
Yes.
Kyle Patterson.
Yes.
Julian Rappaport.
Yes.
Ann Robin.
Yes.
Margaret White.
Yes.
Tom Moore.
Yes.
All right, that motion carried. And now we will go to voting on the rest, Julian.
I'd like us to take out, and for early, however, whatever the right words are now, I'd like a little discussion about the co-responder team allocation and exactly and make sure everybody understands exactly what it is and what it's not. For several reasons, including... the information that Mr. Tilson provided following the application in response to our questions. So could we just discuss, I mean, maybe I just need an explanation, or the board needs an explanation of what is presented, what we're suggesting, what the staff is suggesting here, as opposed to what they requested, what they're getting and what they're not getting, and what that means in terms of the program.
Based on staff analysis and I suppose board discussion, what is recommended is that the mental health board fund only the clinician, the mental health crisis clinician, and supervision and related expenses, that there's a training related to mental health first aid for both the officer as well as the crisis clinician. That is not recommended. It is not recommended that the board fund the cost of the law enforcement officer or for the vehicle that would be used. We have since the application has been submitted, we've been informed that the vehicle will be donated by the sheriff's office. Apparently, there is some financial commitment to offset a portion of the law enforcement officer's time being made by the University of Illinois. He is an officer of a police officer of the University Police Department. It is not clear what other financial commitments have been made by other departments towards this, what other buy-in there is beyond, I suppose, the use of the CIT tracking form for contacts. If this were to be funded at the level proposed, it would require work by Rosecrans and other stakeholders to fill the void.
How much would the difference be? Taking into account their original request.
The original request was $219,000. The mental health first aid was $5,000, so you're down to $214,000. The vehicle was identified at $16,500, and then the law enforcement officer was identified at $92,000. There was no overtime, or at least described in the application, associated with the position, but in the Rosecrans's response to some board questions, they indicated, I think, that an additional 15, or maybe it's 18,000, would be, well, no, that's not correct. I think it was 70. The original amount that was listed in the application was 92,000. But the response that they submitted said that cost would be reduced to 78,000. So you're basically looking at a difference of $78,000.
Thank you. So I think, well, what's that question here? Is it worth $78,000, or is it violate a major principle that we have, or is it a good step for the board to take to foster a relationship between the police and the mental health workers in some concrete way when it's actually, I think, the case could be made that this is a good faith step on the part of law enforcement to actually put some resources into it. So do we want to reject that? Or do we think maybe we should think twice about that? I guess that's the question. And is it worth $78,000, which would have to come from somewhere? And I honestly would not have brought this into this process at this time if we didn't decide that that's what we want to do now. So if we're doing it, we ought to do it. I mean, talk about it. We could reject any one of them. But those seem like important considerations to me for us to make, at least as important as the considerations we've been making about other programs.
Are you making a motion?
Hence, I'm making a motion. I guess that's what I end up needing to do. Yes, I would make the motion that we increase the appropriation to cover the uncovered costs of the law enforcement person, whatever that, if that, you were estimating that number is $78,000. And so that's
$178,000?
Yeah, it's a, you're now suggesting we allocate $100,000 to the program.
So your motion is to,
I guess, is that clear enough what the motion is?
Well, you need a number.
No.
I'm suggesting that we increase the appropriation to $178,000 in order to accommodate the relationship between the police department and the mental health system. Where we get that money isn't going to be a different question, okay, which we might, I have other ideas about too, but I don't know when you want to discuss those. And it's part that's the staff's problem, but it involves us in some way. So
problem too.
Yeah, I'm willing, happy to talk about that too, if that's appropriate at this time.
We're responsible for the fund.
Okay, we have a motion has been made. Is there a second?
If we could have Stephanie read what we think the emotion sounds like, what we're voting on.
Julian moved to increase Rosecrans co-responder team program funding to $178,000 in order to accommodate the relationship between the police and the mental health board, or law enforcement and the mental health board.
Yeah, that's better. But that's good. You're better at doing that than I am. Thank you.
Discussion? Further discussion, I guess it should say. Margaret?
One of my only comment would be is that I know, and this goes back to your original comment, is that I know when the staff met with us and then they worked on this huge process, is they tried to figure out all of the numbers to balance out and to look at every different agency and what they're asking for, and now to increase one or two, or it still goes back to the process of how they evaluated and already looked at that prior to this. So that would be my only comment.
I guess the question I had, so as I remember, we were, with the original application, we were the sole funders of the program. So with the reduced amount that we have now, is there any question that those needs are not going to be covered by other entities?
The concern I have is if the mental health board, whatever the mental health board commits to this program, is what the mental health board is going to fund in the future. Mm-hmm. That's one of the concerns I have. I don't want to get too deep into this, but we have some recent experience where an application was submitted to the Department of Justice. That application could have included funds to support this project. It did not. We also committed up to $75,000 as match to that application. But in advance of that recommendation that I presented to the board, there were some commitments made at the Crisis Response Planning Committee that an effort would be made to identify other sources of funding and or in-kind contributions. Once we made our commitment, it didn't seem like much effort was made to secure other commitments or in kind. The city of Urbana is in the process of doing social service funding. No application was submitted to the city of Urbana related to this project. Applications from Rosecrans were submitted to the city of Urbana, but they did not include any support for this particular proposal. I don't know, I'm under the impression that while the city of Urbana is supportive of this project, that outside of that social service funding, that for example, through the Urbana Police Department, that they would be committing any hard support to this, that no additional funding. So I think if the board is going to commit $178,000 to this project, it needs to do that with the assumption that based on, well, I guess with the understanding that it's likely that that commitment will have to be sustained at $178,000.
Am I allowed to amend my motion? Is that permitted in the middle of this conversation?
Oh, and then whoever seconded it?
I mean, I don't know. Whatever the parliamentary procedure is.
I think
you could
withdraw
your motion and then do a new one.
I'm happy to do it
anyway.
Clean. I have to agree.
Yeah.
With what?
Your second would have to agree.
Oh, okay.
I have to allow you.
Can I amend my motion? What do we have to do here?
What is your?
I have to withdraw
my
second.
What is
okay.
your?
Okay. I'd like to, if it's possible, what I'd like to say is, and this is why this is so complicated to do under this mm-hmm. these constraints mm-hmm. here now, mm-hmm. but what I'd like to suggest is that add to that motion that the money to fund it be found from the total amount that we already give to Rosecrans to work in criminal justice and crisis, so that we wouldn't necessarily be increasing the overall expenditures, but we would be asking Rosecrans to make the adjustments internal to the funds that we're already providing for criminal justice and crisis intervention. Partly because I think this is a great idea, and in fact, I think there may be some other things that aren't as great an idea, but I think we're already I can't get all that into the motion, so. But my motion would include that we find the money from within the money already allocated for criminal justice mm-hmm. to Rosecrans.
Criminal justice
and crisis. Well, whatever those are, there's several programs there that they have, right?
Yeah.
But I have to agree, right?
That's a weird. Is that too weird of a?
It makes it more complicated.
Yeah.
And I think now you're asking Rosecrans to manage whatever we've given them already in order to continue this service.
Well, we haven't given them this yet.
No, just in case.
I'm asking the staff to recompute the numbers before.
I'm just going to tell you this, that you'll see, it's not reflected here, but the crisis access and benefits application is recommended at $161,687. The majority of the $100,000 that is recommended for the co-responder comes out of that program.
Good.
In that, essentially, we were in the past funding a portion of various crisis positions, a small percentage, 10-12% of each of the positions, and since the co-responder included a full-time dedicated crisis person to work with law enforcement, that there was the recommendation was that what happened basically is the money came from that program where we were paying for a portion of 10 different crisis positions and used and moved it to the co-responder. So when you talk about taking money from other Rosecrans criminal justice related programs, what I would say to what I'm saying to that roundabout way is we've already done that. Mm-hmm. And if you're suggesting we look for another $78,000, then so be it.
Wow. Tom, you were the next person with your hand up, I think.
I just need Mark to clarify for me. So this $100,000 is already in Rosecrans's allocation?
Well, it's part of the funds that they're currently receiving.
So are we having two requests for this money then?
Well, we have a request for just the regular crisis program.
Yeah.
And then you have a separate request for the co-responder program. The co-responder, the $100,000, would include a full-time crisis clinician plus a portion of, I believe it's the emergency services manager's time, to provide backup and supervision and additional support. To offset that, as part of the staff analysis in developing the recommendations, looked at the crisis program and what we were funding there, and shifted the support for the various crisis team members, and just pooled those funds and put it towards the co-responder, where we have a fully dedicated crisis worker working with law enforcement. In the past, the board has discussed the interest and the desire to have more of an effort placed on crisis working with law enforcement. And so that's that.
And your other concern is that this, whatever this allocation is to the co-responder, is going to tie us in next year, next year, next year, next year?
Yeah, that's possible. I mean, we could always include a special provision in the contract that says, and this was actually part of the discussion we had internally, was if we fully funded this program, that we would condition it on only being one year of support, and that after one year they would have to secure the funding to support the non-clinician expenses. We're getting pretty deep into it here.
I think in asking Rosecrans to take the funding from other agencies that we would be micromanaging them, and like Joe said, that's like out of our league here in that.
It kind of gets back to the original question. Just to be blunt, do we have any reason to believe that if we only allocate $100,000 that this program won't happen?
Okay. I think it would have to go back. Rosecrans would have to go back to the other stakeholders and see about getting a commitment from them. That if we fund this at $100,000, there will be a gap that they will need to fill in order to move this program forward.
So have we not communicated with them about this dollar amount yet, as far as, you know, would they be able to make it happen? Would they be able to make it happen if we were to only give them, you know, this amount?
No, I have not. I've not had that conversation. I think it's been their attendance at these meetings has made it clear with some of the discussion that's occurred, as well as the program summary, that questions were being asked about whether it was appropriate for the Mental Health Board to be funding a law enforcement officer.
Okay.
Julian?
So, I mean, this is doesn't work well in the context of parliamentary procedure, so I may have to change it again or not, but it's where I'm being led from the discussion is to want to say, well, I think Kyle's question is really important. That is, mm-hmm. I don't want to give money for something that probably can't happen unless it has enough money to happen. Mm-hmm. So can we make the allocation contingent on them finding the support for the law enforcement person? I don't want to give them the money if they're not going to find support for the law enforcement person, because it's going to be a different program.
I think if they weren't to move ahead with the program, we would likely be in a discussion about restoring the funding back to the crisis program, where rather than funding the clinician for the co-responder team, that we would be going back to our existing relationship, where we're funding a portion of various crisis team positions.
Well, I certainly don't want to do that. So this is why I was hesitant to have all of this come up in this context, because my inclination is to have the staff understand what the board members' concerns and questions are, have them go away and come back with a proposal for what they think will implement our concerns.
We did that.
I know you've done that, which is why I did not want us to do this here now. So if we're going to do it, we have to do it. If we're not going to do it, let's not do it.
Can I comment?
Yes.
You have a motion, so it's inappropriate for staff to comment, but I want to share with you that I feel your pain. I don't know of another way that you can engage in this process. This allocation process is time limited. You are required to do it in an open meeting. You have us as a resource. We've been working on this pretty much 24 hours a day for the last, since February, mid-February, no days off. I mean, it's really real for us. And we're available to talk to you about it and try to make the process easier, but this is as easy as we can get it to be. So for a decision like this, I do think it's okay for you to be pulling these single decisions out and having these discussions. I know it's uncomfortable, but I think it's your best bet for completing this work. So I don't think you should be uncomfortable about that part. The issues, yes, it's tough issues.
I just think we should do it before we get to today.
Well.
So, but that aside.
This is democracy.
I'm happy to withdraw my motion. I really wanted to have the discussion.
Which motion are you withdrawing?
I don't know. I don't even know which motion I made.
You never seconded. Tom didn't second it.
Which one do you want? I'll withdraw my motion.
Second that emotion.
So you can get it extended if you want. But then if you want to withdraw them all together, that's up to you.
Okay.
You made a motion and then you amended it.
Mm-hmm. I did.
We didn't get the.
Amended motion. So that's where we are right now. So what do you want to do, Julian? Or Tom?
I thought I had to withdraw my motion from the first one.
You seconded the first one.
I seconded the first one.
Mm-hmm.
No,
you don't have to.
You don't have to.
Somebody else.
It hasn't been seconded,
okay.
Period.
So you could withdraw the
amendment.
I'm withdrawing the addition to the amendment, right?
Okay. All right.
Are you keeping the original motion?
What was the original motion? Tell me.
It's to.
You moved to increase funding to $178,000. In order to accommodate the relationship between law enforcement and the Champaign County Mental Health Board.
Yes, I'll leave. I would like to keep that motion on the table, if that's okay.
Because that's the one I said.
Yeah, thank you.
And are we done discussing that? I will only say for my part, I'm very uncomfortable with instituting a swing of $78,000 into all, you know, this enormous amount of detail myself. And
I'm also uncomfortable with funding a police officer because I think that's a big commitment. And I'm very much in favor of collaborating with police, but I don't think it's the place for the Mental Health Board to fund police. I don't understand the logistics of it, and I think it would require a lot more discussion.
Kyle?
excuse me, kind of want to echo what Ann said. I also don't feel comfortable at this point funding a police officer. I mean, there's an obvious intersection between behavioral health and criminal justice, and I think that having a partnership is something that's very vital to what we do. But I think that first we need to have a conversation and, you know, really identify what are the beliefs that we want to take into that close of a relationship, and I feel like we haven't properly done that. And I guess another issue is that, you know, this is not a police officer of a local municipality. This is the University of Illinois. And if we're going to go to a situation where the University of Illinois is not willing to invest money in something that I think seems like a really great program, seems like a, you know, something that is going to provide a lot of good research and innovation, which is exactly what the University of Illinois is supposed to be doing. So if they're not going to come to the table, I find that troubling. I will be voting against the amendment because I do think that other stakeholders, particularly University of Illinois, should be, investing more into this.
I do agree with Kyle, and I also think when it comes down to it, I thought we were a mental health board, mental health services, not law enforcement. And so that's how I was thinking about it. I wasn't thinking about it as law enforcement in any way, that just the mental health service aspect of it. And if the University of Illinois is not willing to invest or withdraws from this, then we're left holding the bag. And that's not fair to the community either.
Any more discussion? Oh, Tom.
Just a comment for Joe is that about 2 years ago, we decided that criminal justice was a mental health issue. And so we have been funding those types of programs for longer than that because we think that it is related to community mental health, not to individual, mm-hmm. but to community mental health. And that if we don't get a handle on this public safety issue, mm-hmm. we're going to be in big trouble. So that's neither a vote mm-hmm. nor for or against. It's just yeah. trying to explain how the mental health board has gotten itself into the criminal justice system.
Oh, I mean, and on that note, I do agree with that aspect of it, that mental health and criminal justice do work hand in hand. However, I was thinking more about the officer himself, mm-hmm. not the idea. Mm-hmm. It's an ideal that I think I value personally mm-hmm. also.
I just have a question. With the motion on the floor, if we vote for or against it, it will either raise the allocation or leave it the same. But I liked what Mark said about adding that we would review this in a year. How do we add that on? Pardon?
You mean in relation to a special provision?
Yes. That they would, yes.
What we would do is include, it's a special provision, we would add it into the contract if this is approved at $178,000, that over the course of the year they would be expected to identify other sources of funds to pay for the law enforcement related expenses.
And that's what I wanted to be clear on.
I would happily accept that addition to my amendment, which I think is something that you can do.
No, it goes in the contract.
I mean, to my proposal. Didn't I have a proposal? A motion. I would accept that as a addition to my.
I just was clarifying. I thought that that was the way they could do it. It would be a legal document, but I wanted to make sure that it got in there.
Well, it seems to me that it's important enough to actually have it explicit. Thank you.
Okay.
I would just like to say I agree with Elaine that that's an awful lot of money to add to the budget at this point in time.
So, Mark, do you think we have to make a motion to have you add that to the contract?
If you want to make it part of the motion, that's fine. I think if the board approves the motion on $178,000, based on the discussion with the board and some of the various opinions that have been expressed, I think as staff, we would probably be looking seriously at including it as a special provision, period.
So what if we don't approve the increase of Julian's proposal? What if that is defeated? How do we get this into the contract?
If the motion is defeated, I think we're back to the $100,000 just becoming part of the tier, and the $100,000 does not include support for law enforcement, and then we're back to contract negotiation, where we're meeting with Rosecrans in discussing how they move forward in securing other commitments, and then conditioning our contract based on their ability to secure those other funds.
Right. If you don't put the extra money in the special provision, doesn't matter anyway because they're going to have to figure out something else.
Okay. I guess. Thank you.
All right. Are we ready to vote on Julian's motion? Okay. Everybody know what you're voting for or against. Okay. Stephanie?
Kyle Patterson?
No.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
No.
Margaret White?
No.
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Judy O'Connor?
No.
Joe Omoasagie?
No.
Elaine Plencia?
No.
It fails.
All right. The motion failed, and so now we go to vote. Is there anything else about Tier 3 that somebody...
So you have to change this motion because two programs are already recommended for 6 months.
Right.
And you have a previously excluded item, two, or previously approved item.
So in order, you're just talking about the way I announce it.
Yeah.
So we would have to, the motion is, we would need a motion to approve funding as recommended for Tier 3, but excluding the previously approved item of the DOJ implementation grant and... The PLL that's already been approved for those two, I mean, what we approved, and the
first followers.
And is there anything else? Okay, I need that motion. Somebody make that motion.
I think I can do this. I would like to... move to approve the funding as recommended for Tier 3, excluding the one previously approved item and the first followers, which we now have approved at a higher level, up to $59,000, and excluding the two PLL programs, which were only approved for 6 months.
All right.
Is that clear?
Discussion? Okay, please call the roll, Stephanie.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Margaret White?
Yes.
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Joe Omoasagie?
Yes.
Elaine Plencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
All right, so Tier 3 has... been approved, and we move to Tier 4, which is innovative practices to support access to core services. There are four programs there. And let me look over here if there's anything. So is there any interest in taking out any of those programs to look at individually. If not, I will need a motion to... Margaret has moved to...
I motion to approve the CCMHB funding as recommended for Tier 4.
Do we have a second?
I second it.
All right. Second. Any discussion? Would you call the roll, please?
Margaret White?
Yes.
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Joe Omolasagie?
Yes.
Elaine Plencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
All right. That tier passed. And so Tier 5 is other renewal, other renewals that don't fit in those categories. And there are no qualifications to that in the motion itself that would be asked for. Is there any interest in considering any of those programs individually? If not, then I would need a motion to approve Tier 5.
Motion to approve CCMHB funding as recommended for Tier 5.
Second. You got 2 seconds.
And the roll call.
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Joe Omolasagie?
Yes.
Elaine Plencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Margaret White?
Yes.
Tier 5 programs have passed. Now, with all those passed, we need a motion to authorize the executive director to conduct contract negotiation as specified in this memorandum. Tom Moore moves and Kyle seconds that. Any discussion?
What would happen if we didn't?
Yeah, at this point, yeah.
There is, we would have...
No, I'm just kidding. Don't pay no attention to me. I'm sorry.
Okay. Does that require a roll call, Stephanie? No. It does not because there's no money specific, right? So all in favor of that motion?
Aye.
Opposed? And then we have one more motion right here. It's the motion to authorize the executive director to implement contract maximum reductions as described in the special notification concerning FY18 awards section of this memorandum. Somebody? Margaret has, and Judy seconds that. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So that motion carries. And so we are done with our funding allocations. And I believe the remaining item is to talk about meeting schedules for the future. Len, are you the one who's doing that?
Yes. Well, we need to cancel the June 21st meeting because a couple of us will be in, I know, we will be in Washington, D.C. SAMHSA's paying for it. Yay, Mental Health Board's not paying for it. To learn about best practices in the criminal justice mental health interface. So it's good opportunity. We'll come back and do a report on it. But you have an optional board meeting scheduled for June 28th, and we could have the PLL study session at that time. We can get Savannah Family Institute to come and talk about the program and show you data. And as Mark said, we could hopefully get the other stakeholders into the room who brought PLL to this community in the first place.
Can we discuss this, that particular issue?
There's no approval needed.
Okay. So... Yeah. I'm trying to think about how best to proceed with this. And I'm a little bit hesitant to, maybe this will be an unfair characterization, but I'll do it anyway. I'm a little bit hesitant to spend a lot of time on what I already know will be a pretty good dog and pony show. They know what they're doing. They'll present it well. We'll hear it. I think in many ways you already know quite a bit about it. Our questions are not about if what they're doing is worthwhile. Our questions are about whether or not we couldn't, after all these years, accomplish the same thing. So I think that what we need to do is spend time discussing with the local providers to see if we can actually, if they and we couldn't figure out a way to make it feasible to have this done locally. So if I'm not sure I'm making my point clearly here. I just don't want to waste a lot of time hearing things that we already know will be positive. Maybe we'll decide we have to have that because we're really not convinced that it's any good anyway. But I really think the issue is going to come down to whether or not it's feasible and practicable for our, whether we have the local capacity to provide this service.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you and I understand that because, I mean, yes, the dog and pony show might be great. And we do have the resources probably in this community to provide such services. And we probably have the ability to do the kinds of trainings for the facilitators also. So, and I think what I'm hearing is that what you'd like to see is how can we get the local community bring in what they can do so we can do it at a lower cost.
Yeah.
Other than paying the Savannah Institute.
Right. And instead of sending the money out of the community, why not keep it in the community if we can do what you just said? So it seemed to me that that's our work task is around that more than it is around having the Savannah Institute tell us all the good things that we know they're going to tell us.
Well, you've been on this board a while, Julian. I think some of us might not know that much about, you know, what is provided by this. I certainly have not been through the kind of, I wasn't here when it was set up, all that relationship.
No,
was
I wasn't
set
here
up.
Either, but they do have reports. Every
I year. Know they do, but I just am not sure that everybody does know everything.
Sure, it's fine.
Everybody on the board, and it might give us, you know, a way of comparing what comes in after them. So I would be very happy to hear what they have to say myself.
Kind of hit it. I was going to add that I do think it's valuable to have this Fan Institute, you know, explain why their program is great, the dog and pony show, as you put it. But I think it's also important that we do communicate to the local providers that this is their chance to prove to us that it is worth the money, and there are not alternatives. And I think that whether it's staff or whoever corresponds with them, to invite them to that it's made very clear that's why we're having this study session.
What I do think is, for some, the presentation may be helpful. I have no idea, but I think that we need to be clear among ourselves why it is we're questioning PLL, and there may be a cocktail of reasons, but I think if we just sit down and listen to Savannah tell us how good they are, we'll think they're that good. But I'm not sure that's the question. The question is multiple among all of us about whether we want to keep PLL or not keep it. And whatever those are, they need to be clearly stated and not fumbled upon. So when it comes time to make a final decision, we still don't know what we're deciding on. So if we do it, that's fine. But that should not be the deciding factor of where PLL ends up. And I think there's no use in us having this discussion if we are not going to sit down and clarify among the eight of us, 9, 10, what's going on here.
Anything else on So, but am I understanding, though, that we should listen to Savannah? You want that study session?
I have no problem
with that. Uh-huh.
I think there's a question in terms of who's available on the 28th.
Mm-hmm.
And we're back to, do you want Savannah here? Do you want to hear about PLL? Or is it, do you want the current providers to present on alternatives?
Mm-hmm. Or do you want to hear about its history from staff? Because we can,
yeah,
we can explain how it came to this community.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this... And I don't want the agencies implemented this program at the request of the Mental Health Board. They did not come to us with this model. We came to them. I want the board to be clear about that, because I think the agencies may feel like, well, that they're being criticized for operating a program that was not necessarily their original idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say again, and there may very well be some very competitive alternatives, but we brought PLL to this community based on some very poor performance by agencies involved in juvenile justice diversion.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was a result of that experience that Peter Tracy turned to other alternatives, and that was Parenting with Love and Limits.
How long ago, Mark?
2009.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's when the program first started. We actually had the issues come up, and we started looking at the model in the fall of 2008. And again, this was not decided upon by just the board. It has very strong support from the state's attorney. It has strong support from the juvenile detention center and court services. So I think when we have conversations about alternatives, we need to think about some of our other partners involved in this
mm-hmm.
project.
Well, I certainly would. I like what you're saying, and for my part, I need to see the whole sweep of this, you know. And I think history is important. How we came to this spot. It might be through a very thoughtful and good process that we shouldn't be messing with. But I think we need to see all of it. That's what I'd like to see.
You do.
So yeah, This question has come up among the board members on multiple occasions.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't have any idea, personally, if the current community providers are capable of and would provide at least an equally
mm-hmm.
good mm-hmm. program for this dollar amount that we are spending.
Mm-hmm.
But that question has been raised, and it's been raised, actually, the absent board president was the first person who raised it most explicitly,
mm-hmm.
asking, well, why isn't this spun off after
mm-hmm.
some number of years?
Mm-hmm.
It may be that it can't be,
actually,
and
I
that we
can't
do this.
I was the one who raised
it. It can't be.
So
it
may...
Yeah.
It's manualized end-to-end.
Well, that,
yeah.
that
we,
it's not that this exact program.
Right.
I'm not talking
right.
about... Anyway, the point being...
Yeah. Well,
what we need to know is what Tom and Mark were just really discussing here. That we don't need a presentation from Savannah. What we need is a consideration of what local capacity is and whether or not it would be not just adequate, but as good at or better than sending the money to get the same thing out of the community. That's what we've been concerned about as a board. So I personally will be 100% happy if we end up convinced that this is such a great program and there's just no way we can provide this with local folks.
What would be an interesting discussion? What would be a discussion that would help you make a decision like that?
Well, I think we have to have, I think what Tom said is right. We have to know specifically what is it we want. And I think we do have to know about the history of it and what need it's supposed to be filling. And then we have to have a conversation with the local providers. Let's invite people to talk about, maybe there are people here who think they can do it just as well. Maybe the people currently receiving the funds and then send the money that we send out of the community, we spend, how much do we spend for the supervision part? $150,000, mm-hmm. I think it is,
yeah.
For supervisors elsewhere. Maybe that money would, maybe the local agencies think that if they had that money, they could do the same job just as well. I don't know. Or maybe they think they can't. So maybe they won't be interested, in which case we'd have to think about that. But it seems to me that's what we want to know.
They may be fully capable of it, but they can't use the model if they, without.
Well, they can't call it that. I mean, there's a certain.
No, okay. Well, this
but
is.
But it has very specific.
All right, can I say that we passed a special amendment, so obviously we have an issue with this.
Right.
So how about the 28th, we have a study session. You guys, whoever, Mark or Lynn, whoever is most capable, can present to us about how we came to do this. We can have Savannah in some capacity, whether they can come or maybe they can send something, and then have the local agencies talk about why they feel that they absolutely need it or absolutely don't need it.
Can we have the stakeholders who were instrumental
sure.
in bringing
yeah,
it
sure.
to?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of what we were proposing to do. I think it's just that we've punted a whole bunch of issues into the future, so we do have to have some board meetings in the future, and this would be a good one to start with. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think so. Can I make a comment? We have a year to figure this out, so let's not rush and try to do it tonight. Now, the other comment that I really want to make is this was a long, tedious meeting, which I've not had on this board before. So I'm going to suggest that we do one or two things. We figure out whether or not we actually can take projects out of the proposed budget that's already been proposed and continue in that way. I do agree that when you do that, it attacks the integrity of the work that the staff has already done, and as if we know better than what they do. And if we are going to do that, then maybe we can have this the budget finality presented a week ahead of time, and we can work through it. Wait, come on. Otherwise, then just decide we're not going to do this way next time, and just come in and vote on the tiers the way they are.
I kind of liked it.
Because there's no reason to have this kind of meeting at this for us here.
That might just lead to the last item, which was board announcements. And Lynn, we were going to talk about getting feedback by email from the whole process. The first review or second review, all that was new this year. So maybe we should add this on.
Yeah, there are a whole bunch of things that you didn't have time to do this spring that we need to get back to. You do need to do them. I think that talking about PLL is probably the most important thing to do right now, but then we have a whole bunch of other business to get back to. And then back to the regular allocation process, which starts up again with really big tasks in September. So we can't produce for you the allocation timeline with specifics until we know what kind of allocation process you want to engage in next year, starting when the applications are submitted. It's a very tight timeline for us as it is. Accommodating lots of extra meetings was a little bit challenging. If we could have extra meetings during the day, that would be helpful. I don't know that any of you are available during the day. So it would be good to get all your feedback about this application review process through email as soon as possible, rather than scheduling a debriefing discussion for some time in the future, because we actually have to set the schedule up now. So
So as soon as you can let me know what you need next time around, we can incorporate that information into the process timeline.
What I do not want to do is to make this a more onerous task for the staff. And we can't afford to have this kind of these kinds of meetings. If you guys work through the budget and that's it, then, yeah, I mean, I started it, but nonetheless, if you work through the budget, then that's it. And we can't have these this kind of this discussion at this meeting. This is simply a business meeting where you say yes or no to stuff.
Well, I didn't.
So that's okay.
I didn't feel that this process tonight was disrespectful of us at all or of our recommendations. So I really didn't because, you know, there are lots of different ways that you could make your allocation decisions, but we're out of time. So I thought this was probably the best way for you to do it, to make sure that you're confident about these decisions. So
I just need to add one thing. I'm glad you're going to do the PLL.
I will not be here on the 28th, but I could get notes or whatever because I'm very interested in it, and I do need in-service on it. So I just wanted to let you know that.
I think that, you know, one of the reasons for the pulling out is because once you group them in tiers, then it becomes impenetrable. And I think that's a big downside because people do still have issues so and haven't been able to discuss with the staff, you know, except maybe one-on-one. So, you know, personally, I was fine with this. It might be a little bit uncomfortable, but it's the nature of the business, and I think it's fine to have everybody's opinion and not be kind of feel railroaded into, well, I don't want to really vote for this, but it's in the tier, and I want to vote for the rest of it, so I have to, you know. So I'm good with it. Margaret? I know you're not.
All right. I just want to thank the staff again for all of your hard work, and move we adjourn.
I just have a question about the email. Can I ask? Are you wanting us to just freeform send you stuff, or are you going to ask us send us questions about it?
We can engage in an infinite email dialogue about it. It's really
that's what I don't want to do.
But it's
what do you want us to send you? What do you want us to send you? You might have specific questions you want us to answer.
I think just what do you want to do? How about it's this? What do you want to do next year in order to consider all the applications? Assume that you'll get lots of applications that they'll way exceed the amount of money available, and so that you will have a difficult decision process. So assuming those things, how would you like to approach it next year?
Okay.
And when?
Yeah. Better start now.
So it's really okay. Like any input on it will be very helpful.
Okay. So I believe we're adjourned. Did we have to? Do we have to? All in favor of adjourning? Yeah.